Might be a little loud. Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom.
Where is everybody? So pray for me. You know. Sunday evening, we begin what is typically referred to today as Rosh Hashanah. It's the new year. Of course, everybody every year wonders why we call Rosh Hashanah the new year, because it's in the seventh month instead of Tet. I'll explain that more on Sunday. The New Covenant portion for tomorrow will be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16, through chapter 5, verse 8. The actual name of this holy day is Yom Teruah. It is supposed to be a remembrance. We're told in Leviticus 23, verse 24, it is a time to zicharon truah, to remember the truah. Typically, I teach on the events that are associated with the blowing of the shofar as they are revealed in the prophets. The themes of judgment, resurrection, and regathering. And these are important, and I will indeed teach on that this coming Sunday evening and Monday morning. However, these themes cannot be the primary fulfillment of the holy day, precisely because they are spoken of by the prophets. Leviticus 23 was written many, many centuries prior to the prophets, and we're told to remember. So if we're told to remember in Leviticus 23, it must be an event that has already happened, not one that would take place in the future. Actually, the word Teruah does not, it's typically referred to as the Feast of Trumpets, Yom HaTeruah, the Feast of Trumpets. But Teruah doesn't mean trumpet. Shofar, Yom HaShofar would be the day of the trumpets. This is the day of Teruah, the shout. Teruah is one of the voices of the shofar, which we will blow on Sunday evening and on Monday morning. The Lord himself is often heard in the voice of the trumpet throughout Scripture. For instance, in Numbers chapter 23, verse 21, we have Truat HaMelech, the shout of the king, and it's speaking about God. We're told that God went up to heaven with a Truah, a shout in Psalm 47, verse 5. And as he went up, he will come down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Lord will descend from heaven with a truah, a shout. The truah is the short staccato blast on the trumpet. And in Numbers chapter 10, verses 5 through 6, the Teruah is the call to break camp, to get ready to leave. Understand, you've got a couple of million people in the wilderness, no cell phones. How do you get a couple of million people ready to go? You sound the shofar. And the truah blast, the short staccato blast, was the signal to get ready to go. Numbers chapter 10, verse 5 through 6. The tekiah is the long legato blast. And it is the call to assemble before the presence of God in Numbers chapter 10, verse 3. The truah, the call to get ready to go, is typically followed by the tekiah, to assemble. You get ready to go, and then you assemble. So when do we first hear these voices of the shofar? When are we first introduced to the horn, the ram's horn? In Exodus chapter 19, verse 19, the Lord descended upon Mount Sinai in a thick cloud, and there were thunders and lightnings and shakings and earthquakes and rocks split. And then we heard, Vayehi kol ha-shofar holech v'chazech me'od. The voice of the trumpet walked strongly, loud. Which voice of the shofar did we hear? Verse 13 tells us we heard, Bechach ha-yovel. Now that's translated in your Bibles as the long blast. That's not what it means. Some of you might have picked up on the word yoval. It's the word for jubilee. We heard the sound of the jubilee. The jubilee was the time we returned to a condition before we incurred debt. The voice of the shofar that we heard at Sinai was the very first jubilee. It was a new beginning when God would take a rabble of slaves and turn them into a nation of priests. It was a transformation, a transfiguration of people. If you remember in Luke chapter 4, Yeshua is at a synagogue in Nazareth, and he's given a scroll to read. And he stops in the middle of a verse of Isaiah 61. He would have failed seminary. He stops in the middle of the verse when it talks, I have come to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he rolls the scroll back up and he says, this has been fulfilled in your hearing. And the people there just couldn't take their eyes off him. They were astonished that a man would state, because everybody understood what that verse was talking about. When Mashiach comes, he will proclaim the Yovel, the year of Jubilee. I am always somewhat amused when people state Yeshua never claimed to be the Messiah. It is astonishing. He continually claimed to be the Messiah. If you place these words in the context of the Jewish thinking at the time of the first century, there was a reason some of them wanted to stone him. In verse 17, Moses brought the people out of the camp at the sound of the truah, and they assembled at the foot of the mountain to the sound of the tekiah. And there they heard the voice of the Lord. Yom Teruah, this day, the day of remembering the shout, is a day we're supposed to remember the first shout, the one we heard at Sinai, the time when heaven and earth touched. The first time heaven and earth touched since the Garden of Eden, when the presence of God came down from his lofty perch and dwelt and spoke with man on that lonely wilderness mound. Yom Teruah is the day we remember the time the entire nation of Israel and all those of the aliens who gathered with them, that left Egypt with them, all heard the Lord God Almighty. They heard the Creator of the universe speak from the midst of the cloud. We heard him speak even as Adam and Noach and Abraham before us. A moment when eternity and time mingled together and could no longer be distinguished. A moment when we were in this world, but not really of it. when the mechitza, the barrier between heaven and earth, was torn asunder, and we could gaze into more ethereal realms. Most gaze from afar. Some were brought near. One was allowed inside that cloud. To individuals, the voice of God is heard in a gentle wind. It was so with when God spoke with Moshe inside the cloud. It was so when he spoke with Elijah at the cave. He wasn't in the strong wind. He wasn't in the earthquake. He wasn't in the fire. He was in the gentle wind. That's when he heard, and that's when he covered his head, because he knew he was in the presence of the Holy One. But here God was speaking to a nation. He used his outdoor voice. A voice that was heard in the blast of the shofar, a cacophony of such intensity that we shrank in fear. We couldn't stand to be in the presence of that voice. Now, we're told who gathered there that day. And it's a rather inclusive litany, a list of the people who were there. You stand here, all of you, before the Lord your God, your chiefs, your tribes, your elders, and your officers, even all the men of Israel, and not just the men, your little ones, your wives, and the alien who is within your camps, from the one who chops your wood to the one who draws your water. And then he speaks about the covenant he's going to make. And then in verse 14, now not with you alone am I making this covenant and this oath. Now, he's just mentioned everybody. And then he says, I'm making this covenant with more. But with both those who stand here today with us in the presence of the Lord our God and with those who are not here with us today, who wasn't there. He just went through the list. Yes, you were. Yes, you were. He's speaking about those in Israel who had died before we got to Sinai. Abraham, Yitzhak, Yaakov. And as the Jews believe, not only those who came before, but those who would come after. Those who had not yet been born. See, Jews believe in a life after death, but we also believe in a life before birth. Amen. This body is a tent. It's a cup, a vessel, into which the glory of God, the breath of life, is poured into that. The Lord spoke with Jeremiah. He was trying to minister to him. He said, Jeremiah, I knew you before you were in the womb. I knew your soul because it's my breath. It's mine. I knew it. Before I breathed it into that body that was formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. My soul was at Sinai. That's not something I say derived from some sort of mystical exegesis of the word. It's something I believe down to my kishkes, to my guts. It's what I've been taught since the time I'm six. And although I don't believe everything I have been taught since the time I'm six, I believe that. I was there. I have no physical memory of it because I had no physical body at the time. But my soul remembers. And as the strength and the power of this body fails, as my mind begins to deteriorate, the memories of my soul become more vivid. Now my soul doesn't fear the voice, but longs to hear, to behold, to languish in the sights and the sounds that appeared when heaven and earth touched. A brief moment in time that spans eternity, touching those who came before and those who would come after. When the fabric of space and time, the veil that Jacob called Shar HaShamayim, the gate of heaven in his dream. This is none other than the gate of heaven. And I have seen the Lord, and he named the place Peniel. And when that gate of heaven was opened, he saw. And when the fabric of time and space was torn asunder, the Eternal dwelt with man. I am compelled to remember another time when that same barrier, that's what they called the curtain, the 4-inch thick curtain that hung before the ark. It was called Shar HaShamayim. Why? Because on the other side, God was enthroned between the wings of the Chruvim. On the other side of that curtain was heaven. Because wherever God is, it's heaven. And the gate of heaven was torn from top to bottom at the death of our Lord. Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 through 53. And Yeshua cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split, just like what happened at Sinai. Well, of course, the same one who spoke to us from Sinai is the one who hung on that stake. And the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The first resurrection has already taken place. And it took place when Yeshua rose. They were awakened at his death. And they walked amongst the people of Jerusalem and appeared to many. There's a portion of scripture that I never paid any mind to. I never paid any mind to it because it didn't apply to me. And I never figured it would. Welcome to reality. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19. The glory of the young man is their strength. And I languished in that strength till I was 60 years old. The machine that the Lord gave me worked magnificently, flawlessly. I walked in power. I walked in strength. Then the proverb goes on, the beauty of the old man, gray hair. That's a euphemism for wisdom. Supposedly, if you have gray hair, you're supposed to be wise. I ought to carry that sign back to D.C. Just hold it up, kind of wave it. Well, perhaps. Perhaps gray hair is the beauty of the old man. But it be a thorny crown. Wisdom oftentimes comes when the strength of a man fails. When in our weakness, he is made strong. My youth was spent wandering. My favorite saying was, just to see what we can see. The words that I spoke to my first wife before we took off for almost a 4,000-mile walk was, come on, darling, let's take a walk, just to see what we can see. To experience everything that I could and drink of each experience to the dregs. To savor it. my old age, I still wander. But I do it in more ethereal realms now. I don't suppose I'll be strapping 65 pounds to my back and walking 4,000 miles in the near future. Now my life is a series of... It's strange what happens when you get older. It really is. It's bizarre. The whole day is nothing. It's nothing. It's irrelevant. I'm in it. I do what I need to do. But it's nothing. My life now is a series of early morning snapshots of the time I make an excursion into eternity. For 4 to 5 hours every single day, I wake up real early. I've been up, you know, I get up at 3:30. And I spend hour after hour after hour in the Word of God and just trying to hear His voice, to try to be immersed in those words and to behold those sights and sounds that I first heard at Sinai. When the cares of this world are just, they couldn't be more irrelevant. When I'm suspended in eternity, lifted up on the wings of eagles, floating around, trying to follow that voice, the one that walks on the wind of the day. I want to be immersed in those words, that they would become the air I breathe, the light I see, the food that nourishes my soul. And the Lord has blessed those moments. For just as Mary, to sit at His feet and to learn of Him is the choice part. And those moments cannot be taken away. They can only be given away. I can choose not to sit there. But why would I do that? It is the only part of the day I remember. The voice of the shofar is a call to once again engage the ancient paths. And I desire to obey the command of God as it is found in Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for netivot olam, the hidden or the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. But the people respond more irrelevant. When I'm suspended in eternity, lifted up on the wings of eagles, floating around, trying to follow that voice, the one that walks on the wind of the day. I want to be immersed in those words, that they would become the air I breathe, the light I see, the food that nourishes my soul. And the Lord has blessed those moments. For just as Mary, to sit at His feet and to learn of Him is the choice part. And those moments cannot be taken away. They can only be given away. I can choose not to sit there. But why would I do that? It is the only part of the day I remember. The voice of the shofar is a call to once again engage the ancient paths. And I desire to obey the command of God as it is found in Jeremiah chapter 6. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for netivot olam, the hidden or the ancient paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. But the people responded. You know, and then it says, and you will find rest for your souls. I don't want to be like those who was spoken of in the latter part of this verse, and they said, we will not walk in it. I don't understand that. Then the Lord says, I have set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the shofar. But they said, we will not listen. I don't want to be like that. I want to rise every morning and I want to try to hear the sound of the shofar, holech, walking in the wind. Because it's there. And the sound of voice of God's voice is within that sound of the shofar. It's there. If I can't hear it, it's not because it's not there. It's because I'm deaf. It's because for some reason I am insensitive at that moment and I cannot hear the voice of God. But the voice of God fills the heavens and the earth. It is the energy that moves the universe. It is music. And it causes your soul to vibrate in a sympathy, and it just resonates, and you are lifted up, and you are brought into the places that the prophets saw. I, like many Jews in my generation, left God's light in a desire to find God. I know. It sounds weird, but we were all mainly in an elevated state of consciousness at the time. And it sounded good. It reminded me of a joke as I was preparing this message, and I was thinking to myself what I did. It reminded me of a joke. A man comes into another man's house, his friend, and he sees him looking frantically through the kitchen. And he says, what are you looking for? I lost my keys. You lost them in the kitchen? No, I lost them in the bedroom. Well, why are you looking in the kitchen? Well, the light's better. I was looking for God in places that God wasn't. I left the place he was to look for him in the places he wasn't. I left the synagogue when I was 14 or 15. And I left because all I was being taught was a series of do's and don'ts. And I intuitively knew there was more. The do's and the don'ts are important. But I wanted more. I wanted to see God. I wanted to experience the mystical, the mysterious, to enter the moment in time and space when heaven and earth touched. I wanted that place. And I wasn't being taught about it. The path I and others chose was arduous, and it was filled with danger. And many of us did not survive. I buried 8 of my friends before I graduated high school. But I was shown mercy. I sought the Lord. And he was faithful to allow me to hear the voice of the shofar, the call to walk the more ancient path. I read an article this week where a rabbi is expressing his chagrin. And it was really sad to listen to him speak. Because you could tell from his words, his heart was broken. Because he's got himself quite a crown of that gray hair stuff. And he's expressing a lot of regret. I'm a rabbi. For 22 years, I was a chief rabbi of a country. But in the end, I think it was we, the rabbis, who did not do enough to help people open their doors, their minds, and their feelings to the presence beyond the universe that our ancestors knew well and loved so much. we were afraid. Of the intellectual challenges of an increasingly secular culture, of the social challenges of being in and yet not entirely of the world, of the emotional challenge of finding Jews or Judaism or the state of Israel criticized and condemned. So we retreated behind a high wall, thinking that made us safe. High walls never make you safe. They make you fearful. He quotes Rashi there. The only thing that makes you safe is confronting challenges without fear and inspiring others to do likewise. I have many regrets in my life. I do not share this one. For 33 years, I have sought to teach about the one who exists beyond the empirical, to open a window into heaven. You never hear me teach about kashrut. I don't teach about the law. You never heard me do that. I teach about God. I teach this way because when I was taught about the law, I didn't follow it. When I learned about God, when I met God, I don't fight with the law. I just do it. It's a question of order. It's a question of whether or not you do it out of compulsion, whether or not you do it out of love and desire and joy. Because if you do it out of joy, you're gonna do it, and you're gonna continue to do it because it's something that brings you pleasure. It's a great joy for me to walk in the ways of the Lord. It's not the burden. There was a verse that called to me when I first entered into ministry. The Lord is speaking, and he says, the Pharisee who comes to faith will bring forth treasures from both the old and the new. And these treasures I have sought to bring for better than 3 decades now from this particular pulpit and wherever else I get to preach. To summon up a longing in people to be taken up and to behold the face of God. For once we see that face, our troubles here become a small matter. Light affliction, as Paul describes it, compared with the glory and the riches of the place that we behold the face of God. My favorite psalm, Psalm 27. You said, Lord, seek your face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. And his promise is, if you seek, you'll find. He won't give you more than you can bear. He won't reveal more of himself than you can deal with at the moment. But if you seek every day you'll see a little more, and it'll never get old because that faith is infinite. You can seek his face every single day, and when you depart from this world to the world to come, you still will not have beheld the entirety of God. We can't. How can something that is finite behold something infinite? In the place where the eternal and the temporal swirl and mix, the reality of the world pales before the light of that place. In that place does my soul find the rest and the peace that I have sought my entire life. And there is no better moment in time to seek the face of God than during these days of awe, from Rosh Hashanah Yom Teruah to Yom Kippur, a 10-day period, a moed, an appointed time that God chose for us to seek him in a more profound way. to enter into the quiet and hear the voice of the Eternal One walking in the wind. When the call of the shofar to remember rings in our ears, when the call to assemble in the presence of the Lord is heard with clarity. Yom Teruah Azda, a call to remember the day time stood still and we were suspended in eternity. The day we stood before God and heard him speak in the voice of the shofar. It is a day to seek him while he still might be found. Father, in Yeshua's name, we give praise, honor, and glory to you. And I thank you, Lord God, that you have given us these appointed times, special moments to come before your presence in a special way, in a unique way. Each of your mo'adim have a theme, a point to occupy our mind as we come before you. As we prepare to hear the blast of the shofar, prepare our hearts and our minds and our souls, we might hear your voice in the sound that walks on the wind. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.